Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. The right confession comes from right identification. What do I mean by that? Do you know that you will not receive what Jesus has paid for you to have until you learn to confess the right things, until your mouth lines up with the Word of God? When you start saying what He says and you start confessing what He's accomplished and the truth dominates your tongue, then you'll begin to lay hold of and enter into what He paid for you to have. But right confession will never happen until you understand right identification. And what I mean by that is that when you do not know how to identify with your spirit rather than your body and your soul, you will constantly be confessing the wrong things. Let me state it this way. When you don't know what Jesus has accomplished and what He has finished on the cross, you are going to be praying off prayers. You're going to be confessing off confession. What I mean by off is it won't be right on. It won't be in line with God's Word. I'll quote a quick scripture here, and it's going to be hard for me not to just focus on it, so I got to go quickly. James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 says, "Let a person ask in faith without anything wavering. A person that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind, and do not let that person think he'll receive anything from the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." Let me just state what this says very plainly. It says that whatever we ask for, we have to ask in faith without a single doubt, without anything going back and forth on the inside of us, wondering if it's God's will or not. And when we ask one thing one minute, "Oh God, thank you for this," or "we believe for something," and the very next minute we're confessing, "Well, I don't know if it's God's will," or "we'll see what God does," it's showing that we're double-minded. And sure, we might receive the common provision that all men receive. But when the scripture says he shall receive nothing from the Lord, it's talking about the very special, specific thing that he's asking for. And so many of us live our whole lives praying prayers like we're throwing darts in the dark, hoping it'll hit the dartboard and we might get an answer. But God wants you to have such a powerful faith and such a powerful confession and such powerful prayers that you get everything you pray for. I know that that may sound crazy to some, but Jesus said, "As I am in this world, so are you." Do you believe that Jesus went through his life saying, "Oh Father, if it's your will, can you please do this or can you please do that?" Absolutely not. Jesus said he never did anything he didn't see the Father do. He never said anything he didn't first hear from the Father. So all his prayers were answered. Of course, I don't want to get into too much details about it because it's a whole nother subject, but we have those few moments at the end of his life here where he drank the cup of sin and then he became sin on the cross, and he prayed some unusual prayers like we pray, "Oh God, if it's your will, let the cup pass." And then when he's on the cross, he says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me?" That's when he became sin, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Up until that point at the end when he drank the cup of sin for us and he took our suffering, he never prayed, "If it be your will." He never prayed such a prayer that he didn't know exactly what God's will was and he didn't receive exactly what he prayed for. God wants us to get to that place. But we can never do that whenever we're double-minded. That's why I wanted to go to the scripture, because I started out saying right confession comes from right identification. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. First, let's focus on right confession for just a minute. If you don't confess the right thing, as I said already, if you don't confess the right thing the right way and consistently, you're not going to receive the salvation that God wants you to enter into. First of all, you have to understand salvation means to be delivered, to be healed, to be set free, to be made whole. When the Bible said in Romans 10:10, "With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." He wasn't talking about becoming a Christian. He was talking about entering into the deliverance and the healing and the power that the cross has afforded us, that it has made available to us. So if my mouth is not in line with God's word, then I'm not going to receive what he died for me to have. And even if my mouth is in line with God's word sometimes, but other times it says the opposite, I'm still not going to receive what God wants me to have. Now, let me get to the meat of this, because this is what I want you to get. Now, this is new covenant teaching that would take, it's going to take all of us years when we first start understanding the difference of the two covenants to really begin to grasp and understand and enter into the principles of the new covenant. But one of the number one principles of the new covenant is right identification. You've got to understand who you are when you are born again. If you do not stop identifying with your body and your soul as being your identity, then you are always going to be double-minded and always going to be confessing the wrong things. I mean, one week you're going to be saying, thank God I am sanctified completely and totally in Him. And the next week you're going to be like, man, I need to be sanctified in Him. And you're not going to be, and those are two totally different ideas, but they're both true if you understand which part of you they apply to. And if you know that, you'll confess it the right way. You'll believe the right way. Listen, you can't say I'm healed one minute and I'm sick the next. You can't say I'm totally sanctified, I am the righteousness of God, and 10 minutes later say, oh man, I really need God's righteousness. You have God's righteousness. But the problem is your identification. You're not properly identifying the different parts of you. When Paul said in Romans chapter 7 that when he sinned, it was no longer him. He said that in Romans 7, verse 17 actually says, now then, it's no more I that am doing it, but sin that dwells on the inside of me. He says again in verse verse 19, for the good that I would do, I don't. But the evil that I don't want to do, I end up doing it. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it's no more me who is doing it, but it is sin that's dwelling on the inside of me. Two times in Romans 7, he says that when he sins, it's no longer him sinning. Nobody teaches, I shouldn't say nobody, maybe that's an exaggeration. I've never heard anybody teach this before. I'm sure somebody believes it because I know that many people are filled with the Spirit of God and God has revealed truth, even if we don't fully grasp it yet. But this is not something we hear in the common church. We don't hear taught when a believer, when a born-again person sins, it's not them sinning. We don't hear that at all. As a matter of fact, that would be the opposite of what we think is true. We think we need to take responsibility for our sins, that we are the ones that did it, and we need to confess it, and that's how we get free from it, is so I'm a sinner, I did this, I did that, I did this. And we think that's how we get free. But I don't have time to get into details of it, but confessing sin is about, it's not about your relationship with God once you're born again. It's about acknowledging your need for Him, your need to be born again, your need for a new spirit, your need for a new life. You don't get free from the power of sin once you're born again by confessing your sin. You get free from the power of sin by confessing your righteousness. Now watch this. Let me try to make this plain. For time's sake, these are short, and I can't get it would take weeks to teach this, so I just have to do little sessions at a time. Whenever Paul said, I sin, it's no longer I who sin, he had learned to stop identifying with his body as being his identity. He knew that he was crucified with Jesus Christ, and his spirit now was the righteousness of God and the life of Jesus Christ himself. So Paul knew he was the righteousness of God. So when he sinned, he didn't go, oh my God, I sinned, I did this, I did that. No. He said, that is no longer me. That's not who I am. I am the righteousness of God. Now, for time's sake, I won't spend too much time on this. I just want to focus on one area here, right identification. Your prayers must come from proper identification. For example, let me give an example. When I pray, if I see unrighteousness in me, I know that it's not me. I know that's not me. I never go to God and say, oh God, I need your righteousness. If I was to do that, I would be totally discounting the time I prayed just before or recently, thank God I am his righteousness. Thank God he has removed my sin from me as far as east is from the west. I would never go to God and say, oh God, I need knowledge. Oh God, please. Why? Because he has given me all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ Jesus. So when I pray, I say, thank you, Father, you have given me all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ Jesus. Now, if the next day I'm struggling and I go, oh God, I need your knowledge, Lord, please help me, please show me your wisdom and your knowledge, then I am once again, I'm double-minded and I'm not going to enter in to what Jesus paid for me to have. One of the most deceiving things on earth, one of the most deceiving things on the earth is the common provision that God gives to all men. It doesn't come supernatural. It's not by faith. It's just common provision. God helps all of us in our troubles. He helps everybody. That is not what the Bible's talking about when it says, let him ask in faith and nothing wavering. It said a person that doesn't ask in faith doesn't receive anything. It's not talking about common provision. If you think the common provision you're receiving means that you're getting what you're asking for, but it's just not coming the way you thought it would, blah, 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 then you're not really understanding what the Word is teaching here. God wants you to receive exactly what you're asking for and exactly what you're confessing. And the reason that we don't is because we're often confessing opposite things. We're often saying one thing one day and another thing the next day. We go to church and somebody teaches we're the righteousness of God. So we for a couple days, I am the righteousness of God, praise God. We go to church the next week and they teach us that we're sinners and man, we've messed up and we need to repent, we need to ask God. And so that week we're like, man, I'm just a mess, I'm just this, I'm just that. And we're confessing the exact opposite of what we confessed the week before. Now, let me wrap this up by focusing on the identification. There's three parts of you. This is what you need to understand. There are three parts of you. You have a spirit. That's who you are, actually. I shouldn't even say three parts of you. There's one you, and you have two other parts that belong to you. You are a spirit, and you have a soul, and you have a body. You must begin to identify, not with your soul and your body, but with your spirit. Now, when you learn to do that, you will stop praying prayers that are off. You'll stop praying prayers that destroy the prayers you just prayed. For example, I know who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There is no unrighteousness in me, period. All my sin has been removed as far as the east is from the west. I have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ Jesus. That is the truth. Now, if I see sin dwelling in the members of my body and it's dominating me, it's manifesting in me, then I need to understand the difference of that being me and that being in the members of my body so that I can pray correctly. When I pray about it, I don't go, oh God, please help me stop sinning. No, 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 no. Never do I want to do that ever again. The way I pray is I thank God right away that I am His righteousness. And then I believe Him for the righteousness inside of my spirit to manifest, to overcome and overtake that sin dwelling in this temple, in this corruptible body. You see the difference? It's like if I see sin dwelling in me, I say, thank you, Father, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Father, let your kingdom be manifest because it's on the inside of me. Let it be manifest on the outside. Oh God, thank you for your grace that I have dominion over sin. And I learned to pray the right way. Now, if you don't learn this and do it consistently, I assure you it's not going to work. And man, it's very difficult to do this because almost nobody's teaching it. Even if you know it, it's difficult to stay in that mindset because you're constantly hearing the opposite. You're constantly hearing sermons and ideas and whatever, things you see all over the place focusing on the natural man. And so you always want to focus on the natural man rather than on the new man. To put on the new man, he says, it's about thinking. It's about the way you think. That's the way you're transformed. It's not so much by what you're doing. It's by what you're thinking and what you're confessing out of what you're thinking. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what you think and what you meditate on eventually will start coming out of your mouth. What fills your spirit will start coming out of your mouth. And the way you think will cause you to speak certain ways. That's why we need to be transformed, not in our spirit. You need to understand that. When I pray for transformation, I don't pray for my spirit to be transformed. I don't pray that I need the righteousness of God or I need the knowledge of God. Matter of fact, I know I have the very mind of Jesus Christ. I don't need more wisdom. I don't need more understanding. I have the mind of Jesus Christ. But my soul is a part of me that does not yet fully comprehend the truth. And because of the lack of comprehension in my soul, I often want to confess the wrong thing. So I need to be transformed by the renewing of my psuche, my soul, my mind. I need to be transformed by in my soul by the renewing of that mind so that I can, what is inside of my spirit can be, my soul can begin to understand it. And my soul can begin to confess the right thing and pray the right way so that I can see the kingdom of God that's on the inside of me manifesting on the outside of me. So you have got to get your identification down. I mean 100% down in understanding in the inside of you. And your soul has to know the difference between your spirit, your soul, and your body. Otherwise, you will constantly be double-minded, even if you don't know you're double-minded. You'll be praying the opposite all the time of different things. You'll be praying one thing one day and the opposite the next day. You'll be praying, thank God I'm healed today, and oh God, I'm sick tomorrow. Thank God all my sins are removed today, and oh God, I'm a sinner tomorrow. You'll be double-minded in all your ways. And you know what? You're not going to receive anything special. You're not going to receive any powerful manifestation of the kingdom in your life. You'll receive common provision, but you'll continue to walk in failure and misery and frustration and back and forth, and you'll never enter into the power of what Jesus Christ paid for you to have through the cross. So, I know that's a mouthful, but let me close. Right confession will always come from right identification. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you the difference between your spirit, which is who you are, your soul, which is a part of you that needs to be transformed. It's your mind. It's the way you think. It's a natural part of you. And your flesh, your natural man, your body, the affections, the Bible talked about, the affections of the flesh, the desires of the body, the lust of the eye, what the eyes want, what the body desires, the senses, the five senses are all part of that body. We live to satisfy those senses. And the soul is so affected by this body and this fallen world. But when we were in darkness, our spirit was complete darkness. It was a child of Satan. If you're born again, you have a brand new life in you that was never there before. That is the life of Jesus Christ. That is now your identity. That is who you are. And every time you pray and every time you ask for something, you must have that as your foundation, or you're going to be praying double-minded prayers. You're going to pray one thing out of the right side of your mouth, the other thing out of the left side of your mouth, and you're not going to receive. I have learned this over and over and over, and I am still failing at times. Often in my natural man, my soul still gets it wrong. In my spirit, I know the truth, but my soul gets it wrong. Let me close with this. Every time I ever say, oh God, please help me, I realize I'm praying a prayer of unbelief. Oh God, I am such a mess. That is a prayer of unbelief. Every single one of those things is not believing what he's accomplished. Oh God, please help me. He already has. He has helped me as much as I can ever be helped. He crucified me on the cross. He gave me his righteousness. He recreated me in the true holiness and righteousness of God himself. He put everything that belongs to heaven and earth, he gave it to me. He put all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge on the inside of me. He became sin and created me in righteousness. So anything I'm asking for that I already have is a prayer of unbelief. Now, that doesn't mean I can't pray about the things that are missing and the things that are lacking. I just have to know that that's not who I am. That is something I have. That's my soul. That's my body. I say, oh, Lord, I don't want this sin dominating me. That's not who I am. Say you're struggling. I don't know, lust. That's one of the main things, especially guys. I know girls too. But you struggle with lust. Some even pornography and things like that. When you struggle with something like that, what you do is you start identifying with it. Oh God, I'm such a pervert. Oh God, I'm so bad. Oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh God, I'm this. Oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me. And you wonder why you can't stop doing that. Because you're praying prayers of unbelief constantly. Oh God, please help me is a confession that you do not believe that he's crucified that. You do not believe that you died with him. You do not believe he crucified the flesh with all of its affections and all of its lust. You're believing what your eyes see. You're not believing what he's accomplished. And so your confession is not correct because your identification is not correct. So I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to understand. If you were born again, if not, you need to get born again.
But if you are born again, if you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and that is your spirit, and that is what's on the inside of you, you need to begin to identify. That is who you are. You are the righteousness of God. Even if you're all in, if your flesh is manifesting all kinds of garbage and your soul is so confused, you need to know who you are so that you can begin to pray the right way. You can begin to confess the right things. And when you start doing it consistently, and it's not one thing this day and another thing the next day, and oh God, please help me today, and oh God, thank you, you have helped me tomorrow. When you quit being double-minded like that, you will actually start receiving the power of the resurrection. You'll start entering into what he paid for you to have, but you won't enter into that until you get it right. The Holy Spirit came. You might think that's not fair, it's too hard. But you got to understand, the Holy Spirit didn't come so you can talk in tongues. I love tongues. I love prophecy. But the Holy Spirit didn't come for that. The Holy Spirit came to lead you into all the truth. And when you know the truth will make you free. Not tongues, not laying hands, not a powerful encounter. The truth itself will make you free. The Holy Spirit's main purpose in your life is to lead you into all the truth. He wants to show you what's true so you can confess the right thing, you can pray the right thing, and you can receive what Jesus died for you to have. God bless you, man. I hope you received in Jesus' name today some fresh revelation from God. May this seed grow in you in Jesus' name, and may your confession line up with your identification in Jesus Christ. God bless.